Good morning, everybody. And welcome. I'm so glad that you could be with us. My name is John Horton. I am the Bayview Campus Pastor, and I welcome you to the fourth Sunday of Advent.
Hi, we're the Cleland family from the Spring Hill Crossing, and this is today's Advent reading.
When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel."
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you provided for us. Thank you, Jesus, for this Advent and for just being there with us. We pray that you continue to watch over us, continue to guide us, and just blessings upon everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As you can see, we're going to be celebrating communion together a little bit later in our service. And this is how we do it here in Bayview Chapel, or how we've been doing over the last couple of years. It's after the message, and when the time comes, I'll invite you to come forward and celebrate. You'll see that each section has its own table with the elements on them, and so from front to back, if you will exit the right of your pew and come up front and take the cup and the bread that are there together, and if you are gluten-free, we have options for you as well. And then take them back to your seat, and we like to hold them until all have been served, and then we can partake together. I think it's a beautiful symbol of our unity in Christ. If you are unable to come up front to receive the elements, just wave your hand at our handsome ushers, and they will be glad to serve you in the pew. You guys owe me for that. Okay. It is a truth, but you still owe me. Our Christmas Eve service is scheduled for 6 o'clock, and there is still time for you to invite family and friends. We are looking forward to our gathering, our Christmas Eve gathering. And then on the 26th, we are the only one of our five campuses that's going to be open on that Sunday morning. They've asked to do both the 9 o'clock and the 10:30 service to accommodate everybody and still have room to spread out and feel comfortable. And so I still need a couple of greeters for the 26th. If you can help either before the first service or before the second, please let me know. But we are looking forward to a service of lessons and carols. How many of you have been to a service of lessons and carols before? Well, not very many of you. Let me tell you what it'll be like. The lessons are really simply scripture readings. There are six, five of them from the Old Testament. And so before each reading, there's a little paragraph of explanation to set it into context. And then all different readers will be reading the scripture for us. And then Tim, our worship leader, has selected music to do in between each reading. So no message that day. It'll be about 45, 50 minutes in length, but really puts the scriptures front and center in a very beautiful way. And of course, a lot of the music of Christmas that we love. And so look forward to that as well. I wanted to let you know, many of you have heard that Harry Jacobs has passed on to be with the Lord on Friday, late Friday morning. And so our hope is in Christ, right? That to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so calling hours are on the 27th. That's the Monday after Christmas from 4 to 8. They're going to be right here. And then the service will be on Tuesday the 28th at 10:30. Also probably right here. We'll see. We may go down the hallway, but it'll be here at the church anyway. So feel his loss, and Kay's loss, but also, again, our hope is in Christ, right? This is at the heart of what we believe and who we are and what we affirm each week in our worship. So will you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you that as we all have a journey on this earth, that we do not walk it alone, that we can walk with you hand in hand and put our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate today and in this season of Advent. Where would we be without you? Utterly lost and bereft. And with you, life still can be hard, but your presence makes such a difference. May Kay and her family know your presence in these days in beautiful ways. Give them peace, give them strength. We celebrate the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. That's why he came, to give us hope. Holy Spirit, fill this place with your presence. Open our minds, our ears, our hearts, that we might hear what you have to say. We don't want to miss a single thing. We give ourselves and our offerings to you and pray that you would use what we give and who we are and the gifts that you've given to us. We pray that you would use all of these things to build your kingdom and to proclaim the good news that to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And we give this service to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Our reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. I'm going to be reading from the book, from the Bible that's in the pews, NIV, page 724, in case you want to follow by reading that on the Bible. So this is an account written many years later, after the fact, by a person that was not there, which is Luke, and he did that using many sources, all of them inspired by God. It's part of our period of Advent. Advent comes from the Latin Adventus, which means the coming. So let's pray. Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds, so that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear your joy, with joy, what you say to us this morning. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were all terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I'll bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." These are words of the Lord.
Stand with us as we sing in response.
Join me again in prayer. Glory to God in the highest. We join with the angels. We join with brothers and sisters all over this world this morning in singing your praise, our God. You saw us there in our rebellion, and you didn't leave us to our own devices, but you sent your Son to rescue us. You launched this unbelievable plan. Jesus came to earth and became truly human. And he lived to show us what you are like, and he died to set us free, and he rose again to confirm everything that he had said, and to show us that the power of God is greater than the power of sin and death. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. We worship you today, our God. We humble ourselves in your presence. We affirm our faith in you, and we ask that you would give us strength, that you would give us joy, that you would give us healing, that we might experience peace, not because of our circumstances, but because of your presence. And you've given us all important work to do, that we are agents of reconciliation. So this week, help us to look around and see those who perhaps need a reconciliation with you. May we be credible, winsome, joyous, different in a good way. And as we have opportunities, help us to say something that will help them, to bring them just a little bit closer to you and the life that you have for us. And again, I pray, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Amen. Can you imagine how the shepherds felt that cold night? Like so many other cold nights, they're outside, they're doing their job, they're minding their own business, when suddenly, I love that, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, a rescuer. He is Christ, the Lord, the Messiah. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger of all things. And a whole army of angels appeared and began to sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. And their hearts were pounding, and their minds were saying, what in the world is going on? What in the world? Whew. Here we find another sign that God is up to something monumental, something that will change the world, something that will alter human history, and something that will change our lives forever. This season of Advent, we've considered four songs that are found in Luke's gospel. And we are surrounded by signs, indicators that God is doing a new thing. So let's take a look at all the signs. Let's see if we can figure out what God is up to. The first song that we looked at to kind of kick off this whole story was Zechariah's song. The first sign that God was doing a new thing was the presence of the angel Gabriel in the most holy place of the temple in Jerusalem. It was the most sacred place in the country, where symbolically the presence of God touched the earth. And Zechariah was there representing the people of Israel. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and the angel appeared to him with unlikely news that his wife, who was past the point of having children, was going to have a child who would be the fulfillment of what Isaiah had said in Isaiah chapter 40. We just heard it in Handel's Messiah. A voice, his son would be, their son would be a voice of one calling. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, every mountain will be made low, the rough ground will become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The glory of God will be revealed. That's what the angels said as they sang to the shepherds, right? Glory to God in the highest. And how was the glory of God revealed? In some obscure place, in some outbuilding or cave, by the coming of a baby to two very common parents. What is God up to? And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Our second song was the Song of Mary, also called the Magnificat. Mary's song and her experience with God was accompanied by signs. If the signs for the Song of Zechariah were the presence of the angel and this unexpected but joyous birth of John the Baptist, what signs do we see in Mary's experience? Another angel. What's up with all these angels, right? Another angel, a messenger from the Lord. And his message to Mary, another sign, once in human history, when a child be conceived by the Holy Spirit. No ordinary child. This was foreshadowed by another sign child from Isaiah's life and prophecy. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. There it is again. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Folks, something big is about to happen. Last week we looked at Simeon's song, a little bit out of sequence, but we wanted to save the angels for today. We saw a confirming sign for Mary and Joseph, and for us. As Mary and Joseph appeared at the temple to redeem their firstborn son, they're symbolically buying him back from God and dedicating him to the Lord. While they were doing that, a stranger approached them with a blessing and a warning that this child will be great, but will also be the cause of the lifting up and the bringing down of many people. What is the sign here? Simeon's presence and his knowledge that Jesus, this seemingly unremarkable baby, is the long-promised Messiah. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that before he died, he would lay his physical eyes on the Messiah, that the time had come. And then that morning, the Holy Spirit said, "Get up, get dressed. Go to the temple. Today is the day. This morning you will lay your eyes on the long-promised Messiah." And when Simeon saw Mary and Joseph and this little baby, the Holy Spirit said, "That's the one." And it was a sign to them, and it was yet another sign to us that something amazing, unusual is going on. They had to wonder, what will happen to this little boy later in his life? How will God use him? Will he become a king like David? Will he become a military leader? Will he lead us in revolt against Rome? What will happen? Which leads to our fourth and final song, the angel's song. It all happened in Bethlehem, David's hometown, and how fitting, David was a shepherd before he was a king. And when he was a king, he wanted to build a great tabernacle, a great tent, or a great temple, I should say, for God's glory, and God said, no, you can't do it. Your son will do it. But in saying no, God gave him a beautiful promise that is fulfilled in Christ. Let me just read from 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's the operative word. One of your offspring will reign over Israel forever, which we know, looking backwards, was fulfilled in Christ. So Jesus, the descendant of David, later calls himself the Good Shepherd. So it's no surprise that the angel choir would appear to shepherds, another sign, this didn't happen all the time, another sign that a carefully planned mission is underway. And what did the angels have to say? This is wonderful. God is wonderful. This plan that is just commencing is amazing. We can't keep silent. So what is the glory of God in this story? What is so amazing about what God is up to in Christ, what all these signs are pointing toward? Here are some amazing things. That God is merciful. That's what this means. Instead of letting us experience the full consequences of our sins, he has sent a rescuer. That's what Savior means. He's making a way for our broken relationship with God to be restored, reconciled. Amazing. Here's another amazing thing, that God the Son takes on human flesh to fulfill his mission. He must become one of us truly. And with the birth of Jesus, the mission has begun. John writes, "The Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we have seen his glory." There it is again. "The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." That's what the angels are singing about, that God the Son has become incarnate, has taken on human flesh. His birth and sinless life make it possible for Jesus to become our substitute, to die in our place. So Jesus takes our punishment, and later he is not referred to as a shepherd, but as a lamb. "Worthy is the lamb who was slain." And much more about that in our Ash Wednesday service. But the death of Jesus is not the end of the story either, is it? His resurrection confirms Jesus' claim to be the Son of God. The bodily resurrection of Jesus is a sign that Jesus broke the power of sin and death, not just for himself, but for all who come to him in faith, in repentance, and who follow Jesus into a new life. This is good news, then and now. No wonder the angels could not contain their joy. No wonder we cannot contain our joy. We're going to worship together by listening to a really wonderful song. But before we do that, I want to ask you, how do we respond to this good news? And I would suggest we respond like the shepherds did, in wonder, in worship. But don't stop there. They participated in the story. When the angels went back into heaven, they didn't say, "That was lovely. Good music, Tim. Nice sermon, Pastor." Right? It wasn't life back to normal. They said, "Let's go. Let's go find this baby that these angels were singing about. Let's go find him. Let's participate in the story." And so I invite you this morning to worship with a sense of wonder. This is truly good news. Let's join the angels. Let's celebrate the glory of God. But in addition to that, let me invite you to participate in this story, to embrace and to follow Jesus into a whole new life, and to be part of what God is doing through Christ today and this week with our neighbors, in our lives, in our circle of influence. Let's worship and let's participate. For our response time, on the reverse side of your outline, I've included the words of the Angel's Carol, text and music by John Rutter, who is a marvelous musician. And I love it. Let me just read the lyrics for us, and then we're going to play it and listen together in worship. "Have you heard the sound of the angel voices ringing out so sweetly, ringing out so clear? Have you seen the star shining out so brightly as a sign from God that Christ the Lord is here? Have you heard the news that they bring from heaven to the humble shepherds who have waited long? Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Hear the angels sing their joyful song. He has come in peace in the winter's stillness, like a gentle snowfall in the gentle night. He has come in joy, like the sun at morning, filling all the world with radiance, with light. He has come in love as the child of Mary. In a simple stable we have seen his birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Hear the angels singing peace on earth. He will bring new light to a world in darkness, like a bright star shining in the skies above. He will bring new hope to the waiting nations when he comes to reign in purity and love. Let the earth rejoice at the Savior's coming. Let the heavens answer with a joyful morn. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Hear the angels singing, Christ is born. Hear the angels singing, Christ is born."
Christ.
And our Lord Jesus, in his love for us, has given us another sign. The bread, which is a reminder to us that his body was broken to fulfill the mission which started with his birth. Broken that we might be forgiven and made whole. The cup, which is a symbol of his blood, poured out for us, for a whole new way for us to interact with God, a new covenant in his blood, poured out for us again, that we might be forgiven and restored in our relationship with God. I invite you to participate in the Lord's Supper. Please come forward to receive the elements. This bread is a sign to us, a reminder of what Christ has done and who Christ is. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Let's partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he gave it to them, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let's partake together. Will you join me in prayer? With the army of angels, we cry out in wonder and amazement, "Glory to God in the highest." Thank you for your mercy, for sending your Son on a mission to rescue us. We worship you, our God, and participate in what you're doing in us and through us. We celebrate what you have done and what you are doing. And our hope is in Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.
These signs point us toward what we believe. And it's important for us to affirm our faith each and every week. You know, it can be difficult to go through the holidays. And it's been on my heart the last few weeks that sometimes people are just trying to survive, let alone celebrate during the holiday season. But maybe, just maybe, these words are here for us. And these songs are here for us to sing and to affirm together for times such as this. Stand and affirm our faith together as we read the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate with the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. May these words, these truths unchanged from the history of time, help you to hold fast in your faith as we go.